to this great congregation, to your new pastor, Dr. Raymond Myers, to the guests that are assembled here. I bring you greetings, first of all, from my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then secondly, from the East Bay Baptist Association, that partnership, that network of Baptist churches that are working together to expand the kingdom of Christ in the East Bay. We are excited about this new journey. Whenever there's a new pastor, there's a new journey that the church has begun. We're excited as what God is going to do through you and to you as a result of this. And I, as having been associated with you for, I guess, 10 years now, I just celebrated 10 years of service in this association, and I think it was during my second year that I came to serve as your interim pastor. And so I've been associated with you for most of that time, and I was even associated with you before then when Pastor Ralph was here. And so this is a church that has been close and dear to me all during that period of time. And it is indeed an honor. I thank Pastor Ray for inviting me, but I thank you for allowing me to participate in this event and to give the installation sermon. I probably should have gotten hold of those verses that you read and planned something around them, or even the 1 Corinthians 13:13 verse and done something around love. But I didn't do that. I didn't do that at all. I came from an entirely different place, entirely different passage of scripture. And so I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Galatians, the 6th chapter. And I know you've dealt with Galatians a bit, and so this may be familiar to you. We're going to look at the first 6 verses, but we're going to concentrate on the 6th verse of the 6th chapter of Galatians. I always believe that one person's people of God should stand when the word of God is being read. So I will ask you to stand as I read from the word of God. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, so sounds a little different than yours. Don't worry about it. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word should share all good things with the one who teaches. Using those verses, and particularly the 6th verse, I'd like to talk about what preachers wish the church knew about preachers. What preachers wish the church knew about preachers. We pray with him for just a moment. Father God, I just want to take this opportunity, as always, to praise, honor, and glorify you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. Thank you for bringing about this great occasion. Lord, I do recognize that there's nothing I have done, nor anything I could have done to deserve the right to be in this place. Yet in your divine wisdom, you've made it so. Therefore, Father, I request that you might use me as your vessel, that you might speak through me to your people, that you might use my body, my voice, my mind to bring your word to this congregation. I pray that your spirit might precede every word that leaves my mouth, that you would touch the hearts, minds, ears of those in this congregation, that they might hear what the spirit is saying to the church. As always, Father, if there be any glory, any honor, or any praise, we offer it up to you. A servant's prayer. Amen. You may be seated. Now I have, as I said, I've shared with you on many occasions. I've preached, to you for almost a year. I had the opportunity at least once a month, sometimes twice a month, to preach to you and, to share with you. And, as that, I hope you came to understand that my job, was to preach to you. My job was to preach and to not offend. Now, if the truth offended someone, then I still have an obligation as a preacher to preach the truth. And I pray that I do it in a loving manner, because I have been admonished to do so. And every preacher has been admonished to preach the truth in love. I certainly recognize, and every preacher recognizes, that I am a human being, and as such I am fallible and will make mistakes. Not might make mistakes, I will make mistakes. And I tell people always, don't ever trust in me. You know, don't trust in Lyman, trust in Jesus. Trust in the Lord. Do not take my word for anything. If I say something comes from the word of God, be judicious enough to go check it out. And not just me, but even Pastor Raymond. Just because he has a PhD doesn't mean that he won't make a mistake in the word of God. So you need to always check the Bible to see if what he's saying is true. Not that you don't trust him, but your trust is in God and his word, not in necessarily in the deliverer. And so you want to make sure that who you, what you're looking to. And so our lesson today is entitled, What Preachers Wish Churches Knew About Preachers. See, much of this lesson is adapted from a sermon that I did before. And so, and when I originally did it, I used as a resource some material and research that was done by Steve Higginbotham. So I want to give credit to him for part of this message. And so there are five things that I have come to understand that every preacher wishes the congregation knew or understood. First of all, we wish you understood clearly that the work of a preacher is preaching. That's the job of a preacher. It is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is to stand before whoever will listen and tell them, thus says the Lord. It is, none of those other things that they might get caught up or you might ask them to do is really their job. Their job is to preach the gospel. Their job is to give sermons. Their job is to conduct religious ceremonies. The point may sound rather fundamental, but it needs to be said, because many times churches want preachers to do everything but preach. If you were to survey this audience today, I am sure that we would find many different opinions on what the work of the preacher is and what the work of this new pastor should be. Everybody has an idea about what his job is. So many extra biblical expectations. Look at the job description. At least 35 years of age, married, Bible and or seminary degree, at least 5 years of pastoral experience, expectations that he'll mow the grass,
do at least 2 Bible studies and sermons a week. Make at least 1 visit a day after miraculously finding out who was in the hospital. But we need to understand that a preacher can only do so much. You really can't adequately do the study that you need to do. Try to call upon all the people in the hospital. Take care and make sure the bulletin is done. Hold all the meetings that need to be done. Write helpful Bible literature. Do personal counseling with folks that have family problems. Conduct funerals. Handle weddings. Give your family some quality time. And on top of that, make social calls to everyone in the congregation. You just can't do all of that. And it is really not a fair expectation. First of all, I tell folks nowadays, visitation is not the pastor's responsibility. It's everybody's responsibility. Every member here is responsible to visit every member here. When they are sick, you shouldn't look for the pastor to show up. You need to show up. Say, hey, I'm here. What can I do? Now, not saying he shouldn't do any of it. He should do his fair share. But his fair share is not everybody. His fair share is not all of it. He might ask you to come along and do some of it. And you should. See, in order to accomplish what the pastor needs to do, which is preaching, he needs time to study. He needs time to prepare messages. You know, those things don't miraculously happen. You know, folks think that, you know, we wake up on Sunday morning and all of a sudden while we were asleep on Saturday night, God just put a message there for us. And wow, we just stand up and sound erudite. And, you know, we sound like we really know, but it's because God just threw it in there. You know, no, I hate to tell you, that's not what happens. There are some hours spent studying and meditating and praying and trying to figure out how do I say this? And what do I say? What does God want these people to hear? And the preacher needs time to do that. I think the work of the preacher is both best summed up in 2 Timothy 4 and following. And you can go read that later. But the first thing that Timothy says is that the preacher needs to preach the word. That is the content of everything he does, the word of God. The word of God needs to be what he is known for. I'm so glad that Larry got up and read that poem that he was a preacher, because that's a teacher, because that's what he used to do. That is his primary responsibility. He has to be faithful in season and out of season, when you want to hear, when you don't want to hear, when you like what he's saying, when you don't like what he's saying. He still has to stand here and declare, thus said the Lord. He cannot compromise at any time. He has to stand on virtue and make sure that whatever he says, he holds himself accountable for and he holds you accountable for. Sometimes he will rebuke. Sometimes he will reprove. Sometimes he will exhort. Some of his messages will be very encouraging. Some of his message will be very condemning. But he has to be balanced, because that's how the word of God is. The word of God is very encouraging in some passages, but in some passages, it really takes us to task. It takes us out by the woodshed and whips us real good. And as a preacher, he has to be balanced in giving all of that to us, not just the good stuff, but some of the bad stuff. He has to be watchful. He has to look around and see what's happening. He has to have time every now and then to look at the news, to read the newspaper, to look at a magazine, to find out what's going on in the world around him. Because most of all, he has to take a word that was written 2,000 years ago to a particular situation, to a particular group, and bring an application to today. But if he doesn't understand what's happening in the world today, how will it be possible for him to make that application? So he's got to be watchful. And he'll have to endure hardship. That's what Timothy says, or Paul said to Timothy. You know, you've got to endure hardship. You've got to make sure that you persevere. Regardless of what goes on, you have to stand. You have to be there declaring the word of God, whether they want to listen, whether they're there, whether there are people there, whether it's one or a thousand, you've still got to declare the word of God. And he has to do the work of the evangelist. Now, the work of the evangelist is to preach. Now, he's not the only evangelist in the house, praise God. He's to do the work of the evangelist, but he's not the only evangelist in the house, because every one of us have a responsibility to be witnesses. Every one of us have a responsibility to go and share the good news with those around us. In fact, he is probably the least effective evangelist with your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers, because they don't know him from a hill of beans, but they know you very well. And if you will tell them the gospel, if you're living right in front of them. But anyway, if you're living, would you try to share with them? But, you know, if you will tell them the gospel, it carries a lot more merit than some stranger standing down at the pulpit at First Baptist Newark. So I tell folks all the time, don't invite folks to church. Invite them to Jesus, and then they'll come to church on their own. But you be the evangelist. And then, as a pastor, he has to try to fulfill his ministry. He's got to work to try to make sure nothing gets left undone. You see, first and foremost, you have called him to be a preacher. The second thing that you need to understand is that the preachers aren't perfect. They just aren't. Preachers are not immune to sin. I know we want to hold them to a high standard. I know we want to put them up on pedestals. And then when they fall, we want to stomp them into the ground. But we never should have put them on the pedestal to begin with. They're human beings full of the same foibles and temptations that every other person has. And yes, they have a special responsibility of teaching and preaching the word of God. But as they teach and preach the word of God, they are teaching and preaching to themselves, because they know that they are just as susceptible as you are to go afoul to the word of God. Every person can be a sinner. Every Christian has the ability to not sin. Every Christian has the power within them, if they would utilize, to be sinless. But most of us would be happier if we could just sin less. You'll get that tomorrow. But unfortunately, we don't allow preachers to be human. And so many have departed the faith because of the unfaithfulness of some leaders in the church. Because they went astray, we leave the faith. Oh, I knew there was nothing about it. It's not that. He's a human being, and you need to understand that. Many people have been divided because of putting their hope and their glory in the fallible man and not in the Christ that the man was teaching. You must always know that difference. When Ray stands here, he is a man delivering the word of God, talking about an infallible Christ, but he is not that person, and he is subject to fail. So you need to pray for him. You need to lift him up. You need to worry about him falling. You need to make sure that he is not subject to temptation. You know, you make sure that he has enough money in his pocket that he isn't tempted to steal yours. You make sure he's happy with his wife so he isn't tempted to date your daughter. You know, you need to make sure that these things are going on in his life. Preachers need patience, gentleness, and forgiveness as much as anyone else. They will not always please you. They will sometimes disappoint you. But forgive him for that. Show him patience. Show him gentleness as you work with him here. The passage that I began with here, it said that you who are spiritual need to work on bearing the burdens of those who have fallen. And it goes on talking about bearing one another's burdens. And then when it gets down to the sixth verse, it's giving a particular application of that. It is saying that his responsibility is to bear the burden of you making sure that you know the word of God, making sure that you understand what thus says the Lord. But you, on the other hand, have the burden of making sure that his needs are met, making sure that he is able to provide for his family, making sure that he has what he needs in order to do the job that you've called him to do. See, it's a mutual burden bearing. When Cornelius came and began to fall down before Peter told him, "Stand up. I myself am also a man. Don't worship me." And I don't think you're in danger of it, First Baptist, but so many churches get to the point that they start putting their pastor on such a high pedestal that they almost worship him. And when they do that, they're setting him and themselves up for a fall. While the apostles carried a higher office than an evangelist, they still made it known that they were fallible men. They never got confused about who they were. They knew that they were still men serving a holy God. One of the things that preachers want churches to understand is that preachers need directions. As we have already noted, people have many different expectations when it comes to the work of a preacher. Would you not agree that the expectations can only be met if they are known? How can you expect me to do something that you never tell me you want me to do? But there are many folks that do that. I've pastored in several churches, and I've had people come up to me and say, "Hey, you didn't visit me in the hospital." And I said, "I didn't know you were in the hospital. How was I supposed to visit you? I didn't know you wanted me to visit you. You know, you didn't tell me. You didn't tell me that was an expectation. Because I might have told you, well, I'll send somebody else, but I'm not coming. But at least I'd let you know." You know. But you need to make sure the preacher knows what is expected of him. God doesn't expect us to do anything more or less than he has revealed to us. He always says that he reveals to us those things that he expects. He never expects people to figure out what he wants. Now, if God has enough sense to do that, why can't we? If God knows that he has to tell human beings what he expects or they won't figure it out, why can't we as humans know we have to tell other humans what we expect or they won't figure it out? This is especially true, as I said, when it comes to a visitation. If you don't tell me, I won't know. If you don't tell me how I can help you, there's no way I'll ever figure it out on my own. That is especially true in marriage relationships. You know, husbands and wives aren't mind readers, and they never can figure out what they can do for each other unless they're told. Same is true with pastors and congregations. Unless you tell the pastor what your expectations are, he will never know. Preachers need to know your needs in order to meet them. Very important. Preachers need for congregations to understand that the preacher's salary is wages earned, not charity. Some may feel they are better than the preacher because they contribute to his salary. That's not the case. The pastor's salary was determined not by him, but by the Lord God Almighty. God said that the laborer was worthy of his hire. God said that those who preach the gospel should get their living from the gospel. God said that he who does the work should be allowed to benefit from the work. That was God's
declaration, not man's. And so we need to make sure that we take care of the pastor and not think that he's a charity case. He has earned everything we provide for him. A wise member noted, we expect our pastor to be the best dressed person in the congregation. So we pay him enough to get the best clothes from the secondhand thrift store. I know that every church is not able to provide everything that a pastor needs. And so sometimes pastors will have to take a second employment in order to enhance their salaries and to make sure that their family's needs are met. But every congregation should see it as their responsibility to the best of their ability to provide for the needs of their pastor. To the best of their ability. Never sell your pastor short. Never say, oh, he doesn't deserve that. He deserves whatever God has blessed you to be able to give him. There shouldn't be a limit on it. The only limit is how God leads you to provide for him. As it relates to the preacher and his salary, the Apostle Paul spoke many times about this issue. He spoke about it in 1 Timothy 5:17-18. He spoke about it here as well. And he even used those Old Testament examples when talking about it. He used the idea that I mentioned to you about the ox and the farmer, where the ox does not muzzle the farmer doesn't, ox doesn't muzzle farmer, maybe he should. The farmer does not muzzle the ox while he is treading out the grain. You know, while the ox is doing all the work of crushing up the grain for the farmer, the farmer shouldn't put a muzzle on him so he can't eat part of it while he's walking along. He should allow him to eat as he goes along. And Paul correctly, after talking about that, Paul correctly saw that that was a spiritual principle. And he said, you know, do you really think God's that concerned about oxes? No, God isn't talking about oxes. He's talking about his servants. He's talking about those who labor before you in the word of God. That's who needs to be cared for. That's who needs to be taken care of. The laborer has a right to share in the bounties that are produced. And so don't sit there and say, oh, you know, we're paying him too much. Well, if the Lord has blessed you to pay him too much, then pay him too much. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, nothing wrong with that. Not that God sets the limits, but you don't need to set it. Let God set it. Let God say, oh, I think y'all have raised him to be a millionaire. That's good enough. Amen. The point is made in verses 11 and 12 of 1 Corinthians 9, he says, if you sow spiritual things for, if we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap from your material things? That's a good question. If you receive spiritual benefit from the pastor, shouldn't he be able to benefit materially from you? That's what the scripture is saying over and over. If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more, is what Paul says. If you will bless others with your material things, shouldn't you bless the man of God even more? And then the second example that Paul used was the Levites in the temple. And in the 13 and 14 verses of that, he said, the priests and the Levites live off the sacrifices and offerings that are brought to the temple. The application is clear. If the Old Testament ministers under the law were supported by the people to whom they ministered, should not God's servants who minister under grace also be supported? Preachers seek respect for their work, not for their egos, but for the good that they bring to the church. We need to respect them and show that we respect them by providing for their needs. The next thing that we need to understand is that the preacher's job is proclaiming the gospel, not enforcing it. It's not his job to enforce the gospel. He is to proclaim it.
A preacher is not a fireman or a policeman out there trying to make sure that you do what thus says the Lord. Sometimes the preacher will hear the accusation, you need to do something about him or her. Well, that's not his responsibility. His responsibility is to declare what thus says the Lord. If you have a problem with a brother or sister, if you feel offended by a brother or sister, the scripture is very clear in Matthew 18 about what you should do about that. It tells you what you should do, how you should go to them, how you should confront them, how you should tell them what they, and if they don't listen to you, you should go back with someone else. And if they don't listen to you and that person, you should bring them before the church. But don't sick the pastor on them. He's not the watchdog and enforcer. He is the declarer. If the preacher is to be blamed, then he should be handled in the same way that you handle anyone else under Matthew 18. Let him know he has offended you and settle your differences and then move on. And if the preacher is not blamed but other problems occur, then the elders and spiritual leaders of the church are to handle that battle. They're to handle those matters, not put it on the preacher. That's not his job. You see, it is not the preacher's job to cram the gospel down people's throats. It is just his job to preach the truth in love. When he does that, then the church has the responsibility of governing in itself. It has the responsibility of holding one another accountable. It has the responsibility of talking to those who have offended or talking to those that they see not living by what they have been taught. But it's not his responsibility to go out there and say, you know, I've been preaching this and you haven't been doing it. That's not his job. His job is just to preach it. It has been said that the measure of a good preacher is not how many people respond or how much growth takes place, but whether he has been faithful in proclaiming the truth. And that's what you should look at. Has he been faithful in proclaiming the truth? Not that 50 walked down the aisle. Not that every day somebody joined the church. Not that the church is booming. I mean, certainly those are things that we all want to see. But that's not the measure of whether the pastor has done a good job. The measure of whether he's done a good job is, can I look back over his messages and see that they were a proclamation of the truth of the Bible? And if they were, then he's done the job that God called him to do. Many measures success today by how many people are baptized, how many members are in the church has, or how much money the church gets or gives away. Success in ministry should not be measured by these things. The success, true success, is found through the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must do our part, and God will do his. Brethren, if we do what we are supposed to do, if we respect the roles of others, if we work together as the body of Christ, each doing his part, who or what do you think can stop us? I'm here to tell you, nothing can. If every one of us do what we're supposed to do, if every one of us fulfills our role, the church is an unstoppable force in this world. We need to stop sitting back as if we have to guard ourselves against the big bad world out there. If we are who we're supposed to be, the world can't stop us. I like what Jesus says. He says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the gospel. The gates of hell. That means we're going to knock them down. All those people who are on their way there, we're going to draw them out and give them the path to eternal life. We can do that. As I've said many times, we must realize where we can help the most in the kingdom of God. and work together to see that God's will is being done first in our lives. The first judgment is, am I living as God has called me to live? Am I applying the good news that I know? Am I applying what I know about God's word? Sometimes preachers will preach the same sermon over and over and over, and you get tired of it. Well, you shouldn't get tired of it, because that means he doesn't think you've applied that one yet. He's waiting for you to apply it before he moves on to the next one. And so he's going to hold on to that one. That's his job, to preach the good news, to teach the word of God, so that you, the people of God, can grow in the knowledge and love of God, so that you, the people of God, can be the witnesses who are taking the good news to the lost world out there, that you, the people of God, can build one another up and exhort one another and hold one another accountable, that you, the people of God, will start expanding the kingdom one person and one household at a time, that you, the people of God, will snatch people out of hell, bringing them into the kingdom of God. That you, the people of God, will do the work that God needs done in building his kingdom here, as we are taught, as we are preached, as we are led by the man of God, whose God has sent here to preach the word in season, out of season, always. Realize the pastor is here to preach. The pastor is fallible just like you are. The pastor has a job to do, and it is to proclaim the gospel, not to enforce the gospel. The pastor needs to be supported by the congregation. The pastor, the preacher, needs to you to understand that he is fallible, he's not perfect, but he's going to do the best that he can to live the word that he preaches to you. If you will allow him to do that, then you, First Baptist, and Dr. Raymond Meyer will have a successful ministry in the coming years. God bless you.
All right, we come to the time when we get to make some presentations to